And the piece is called Harotze Lechayos Yamises Atzmo. A person who wants to live should kill himself. That sounds strange. Okay, so let's find out. Okay, the topic we're going to discuss today and tomorrow in the Sefer is Shmiras HaBris. And you see, he's going to quote a lot of Mamari Chazal. It's a little bit different than most of the pieces in the Sefer, actually, the way that the next couple of pages are written. It's a lot of sources and a lot of quotes from the Zohar. Okay, so please look inside and let's try to understand the importance of the delicate topic at hand. Muva b'sifrei hagon hakadosh of tzadok hakohen milublin zechuso yagen aleinu. The Holy Kohen of Lublin, Rav Tzadok, explains, She'i efshar la'amod u'lizgaber al ha'taiva ha'yadua, ela al yedei midas haritzicha. The only way a person could conquer the taiva ha'yadua, and he's referring to man's sexual drive and desire, the only way to be able to conquer this yetzer hara is through ritzicha. Losirtzach. It's through killing. After you prepare to kill your desire. What does that mean? Klomar. Sheyishtamish b'midah zo letova. To be able to use the midah of ritzicha in a positive way. Because every midah can be used in a positive way. So even though one of the Ten Commandments is losirtzach, do not kill. And obviously when he's talking about hataiva yadua, part of what he's talking about is a person who's motzi zera levatala, a person who wastes his seed, which of course has the possibility, the potential, right, to produce life, to grant life, to produce a child. And therefore, Chazal in the Gemara in Mizachas Nida equate a person who is motzi zera levatala with a person who commits an act of murder. So Mida, Keneged Mida, in a certain sense, says Rav Tzadok, Kohen of Lublin, a person who wants to conquer this Yetzihara has to also use the Mida of Ritzicha. Has to also use the, in a positive way, the Avoda of killing. Killing what? Ki kiadua efshar lishtam eshim kol Mida, turn the page, because it's known that we can use all of our Midos ra letov. We can use all of our negative kochos, we can use them in a positive way. It's all about channeling that desire and that energy and that drive in the right way. The classic example of this is the Gemara, in Maseches Shabbos, that says, arrangement at the time of your birth, you're going to have a inclination towards blood. You're going to be drawn towards blood. So the Gemara says you could do a lot of things if you're drawn towards blood. You could become a doctor. You could become a shochet. You could become a moel. All those individuals see blood, interact with blood. You could become a murderer. It's a question of how a person chooses to direct his negative in a way that's positive. It's like the Lubavitcher Rebbe on Simchas Torah 1973. When the Lubavitcher Rebbe took the French national anthem and he turned it into a niggun. Now, the French national anthem, in many ways, was a declaration of the rejection of God, and Lubavitcher Rebbe turned it into a melucha v'amshala l'chai olamim, to give honor to Hashem. So what do you mean? How do you take a song? How do you take a niggun that represents freedom from religion and turn it into a way of crowning the king? But of course, al pi pnimis, we understand that idea. That anything that exists in a certain way, I could redirect it. It's Rav Yochanan saying to Reish Lakish, the bandit, Chel chalo reisa, why are you wasting your strength on being a thug? Use that drive, use that energy for Torah. And if you do so, I'll let you marry my sister who happens to be very beautiful. I'll make a shidduch for you. Right? So all these gemaras, all these ideas point to the same yisod, which is that any midah that exists in a negative way can be used in a positive way. So if the aveira, a failure to be shomer one's bris, is a form of ritzicha, then the positive way to conquer that yetzer hara is also by using the midah of ritzicha, of killing in a holy way. Can anyone think of an example? What's he talking about? What on earth is Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter talking about? I mean, We could sit here and read the words and just keep nodding a lot. What on earth are we talking about? What does it mean, Ritzicha in a holy way? What's Ritzicha in a holy way? Yeah? Okay, so kill yourself over Torah. Right? Adam ki yamas ba'ohel. On the pasuk, Adam ki yamas ba'ohel, which describes a person who dies in the tent, and there's a tumah that comes with that death, tumas meis. So the Gemara says, the very Torah is only upheld by a person who's meimis atzmo, Allah, a person who kills himself over Torah. Adam ki yamas, if a person's willing to give up his life, ba'ohel, in the tent of Torah. Yaakov Avinu, the Ishtam Yoshev Oalim. The Oal always represents the Torah. So therefore, a person who's willing to what? To kill himself over Torah is going to have better self-control when it comes to sexual desires. Is that true? So the Rambam says, the famous words of the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Isurei Bia, where the Rambam writes, pull it out. The Rambam in Sefer Kedusha, Hilchos Isurei Bia, prohibited relationships. The Rambam concludes, speaking about how it's normal for a person to have desires. Amru Chachamim, Gezel v'arayos nafsho shel adam mis'ava lehen. Theft and arayos are two of the common desires of a human being. Lefichach, he says, Roy lo la adam lachov yitzro bedavar ze ulahagra atzmo bekedushi asera. Takes tremendous efforts, therefore, for a person to learn to have self-control, both in terms of actions and in terms of thoughts. Umachshava tahora uvedeya nafona, to straighten out one's mind in order to be freed from perverse ways of thinking. Vizar mena yichud shu agorem hagadol. And make sure you don't put yourself in a situation where you're alone with someone you're not allowed to be with, because that will often lead to arayos. And then the Rambam's famous words in the very last halacha, the Rambam writes, "Gedol mikol zos," bigger than anything I've told you, in trying to teach you the severity of the halachos of forbidden relationships, and I've tried to encourage you to guard yourself and to distance yourself. But more than anything, you know what the ultimate weapon to this is? The Rambam says, "Gedolim mikol zos amru, yifana atzmo machshavaso ledivrei Torah." Turn your mind, direct your thoughts to Torah. V'yarchiv daito bechachma, and fill your mind with what? With wisdom, with the wisdom of Torah. She'ein, these are the famous words of the Rambam. She'ein machshavas arayos miskaberes ele belev panoy minachachma. Thoughts of arayos only are intensified in a heart, which in Rambam language means a mind, that is devoid of wisdom. So you'd see that Torah really is the antidote, the same way that Torah on the highest level is learnt on a level of what? Adam ki yamus va'ol, killing yourself over Torah. So that's going to help a person to conquer this Yetzer Hara. And he ends by quoting the Pasuk in Mishlei, the beauty and the splendor that comes with a person who attaches himself to the wisdom of Torah. I'd count the words of the Rambam. Okay? So maybe that's what it means, a Ritzicha of Kedusha. But again, it's the idea that everything that can be used in a negative way, there's a reason Hashem gave us that intense drive. The reason Hashem gave us a passion and a longing and a desire. The goal is to redirect that towards holy things. And I think I'd recommended it one time, but I'll recommend it again. There was an amazing shir that Rav Aaron Kahn, one of our Rosh Yeshiva, gave a couple of years ago. At this point, it's probably, I don't know, Neil Badner, 6 years ago maybe. I think it's called My Love Affair with Torah or something like that. He starts off by, that's how he begins this year. I want to describe to you my love affair with Torah. And he explains that really all of our feelings of longing for intensity and closeness and relationship, the reason we have all of that is to be able to direct that towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the study of Torah. It's a very powerful shir. It's on Why You Torah, and you should check it out. So look what he says. V'hainu, sheyifol im midas haritzicha. Use this midah of ritzicha, lis achzar al atzmo. He says to be cruel to yourself. What does it mean to be cruel to yourself? well, my body is craving something. My body wants something. And I'm breaking my body, lishbur ta'avaso. We talk about breaking one's taivos, l'man shemo yisbarach. I'm killing myself for you, Hashem. I told you yesterday of Shimshon Rafael Hirsch on the Nachash. I did, no? Afki Amar Elokim. What did the Nachash say to Chava? There's an outside voice of God telling you what? Don't eat the tree. But the Nachash said, but God programmed you with an inside voice that says, I want it. That's also from Hashem. Hashem gave you that drive. Right? So now you're telling me to kill the primary voice of God. It's also the voice of God inside of you. That was the deception of the Nachash. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, every time we kill that inner drive, which is so much me, and I kill it, I crush that taiva, I kill my desire for Hashem, that's an act of ritzicha. I'm murdering my desire. And that's an intense thing to do. It's an unbelievable sacrifice, but you know what happens? As we're about to learn, there's such a tremendous reward for a person who makes those types of, literally, self-sacrifice, in a very literal usage of the word, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's tremendous, tremendous, for the act of Misa comes Chaim. Look what he says. When a person crushes and kills his taivas, mamish kmo shrotzeh has atzmo, it's as if he's killing himself, he's denying himself what he desires, v'bechinas ma yavir inish v'yechya, as the Gemara says in Maseches Tamid, what should a person, inish means a person, what should a person do to yechya, to live, yamisas atzmo, kill himself. Happens to be a super important Maimer Chazal if you think about it. What should a person do to experience life? He should kill himself. He should surrender his will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. As we've explained many times in the past before, every one of us is a drop of Elokus from an ocean of Elokus. So I could try to be my own independent drop, or I could take my drop from the ocean and throw it back into the ocean. So on the one hand, when my drop gets mixed back into the ocean, what would you say? It's lost. It's dead. It no longer has its own individual place in the world. It's one way to look at it. Other way to look at it is what? That by killing off my individuality and surrendering myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and instead of being a small drop of God, taking my life and trying to live it in my own way, if I attach it to the what? To the Chai Olamim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now I'm attached to a much bigger source of life. So that's what it means. Ma yavid inish v'yichya. What should you do if you really want to live? You want to live big? Then kill off your small self. Kill off the miniature version of yourself. Right? Kill off that Yetzirah that tries to create this own independent track of existence with its own desires and its own interests. And surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how a person really, really comes to live. I gave a drasha on Chol Hamoed Sukkos, and I tried to explain why do we read the book of Koheles on Chol Hamoed Sukkos, Shabbos Chol Hamoed Sukkos. Why do we do that? Koheles is the most depressing book in all of Tanakh. Hevel Avalim, Akol Havel, everything is vanity of vanities, it's futile, everything's a waste. You know, Shlomo Melech says, I tried this, I tried that, it's all a waste of time. What's the point of all the efforts a person makes tachas Hashemesh? Why do we read such a book on Zman Simchaseinu? So the Bali Musar, different Svarim, the Darche Musar, other Svarim explain that the idea is similar in a certain sense to the Gemara in Maseches Brachos that describes the wedding of, I think it was Mar Breid Ravina, and it was a big wedding and everyone was having a good time and the dancing was getting kind of rowdy and maybe the Chevra had a few too many L'chaims. So what did he do? Anyone remember the Gemara? I think it's Daf Lamed Aleph. He takes a glass and smashes it, right? And everyone, whoa! And what happened? Then everyone calms down a little bit. He was saying to them, look, things are going to start breaking if you don't, you know. He did something the opposite to kind of restore the balance. So it could be that on Zman Simchaseinu, over the course of Sukkot, where we have this intense Simcha, as a way of balancing out the simcha so we don't get carried away. As the Rambam warns us, there could be a simcha shel mitzvah, there could be a simcha shel holulus, there could be a simcha of silliness, and there could be a simcha of real simcha shel mitzvah, dveikus ba'ashem. So maybe as a way of balancing out Zman Simcha Seinu, we read a depressing book of Koheles to kind of temper and balance out the Simcha. You could say a pshat like that. But I wanted to suggest, and it was partially based on something I heard from my chaver Joey Rosenfeld, Shlita, that it could be there's a different pshat, a deeper pshat. Why do we read Koheles? Why do we read Koheles on Zman Simcha Seinu? So my friend Joey told me it's really based on a teaching from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman says in Likutei Moran, an interesting Maimer Chazal. It's a Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara says on the words Shabbos Vayinafash, Shabbos Vayinafash, the Gemara says, Kaven Sheshavas, when Shabbos arrives, Vay of the Nefesh. A person says, woe to the of the Nefesh, to the soul that will be lost. What happens at the entrance of Shabbos Chevra? What happens? What happens? You get a Neshama Yisera, right? Person gets a spiritual boost on Shabbos. Whatever that concept means. You get an added neshama on Shabbos. I read once in a sefer of stories and hanhagos and divrei Torah from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that they asked Rav Yaakov, I think maybe he said something about the neshama yaseira like enters the body right by Baruch Hu of Mariv on Friday night. So they asked Rav Yaakov, like, what's the source of that? He's like, what, you don't feel it? You know, like, recognize when your Neshama Yisera comes in? Okay. Yeah, pay a little more attention. Yeah. So why at the entrance of Shabbos does a person say, Vay of the Nefesh? When does the Neshama Yisera leave? Motzei Shabbos. Why do we have Besamim, Vay Havdalah? To comfort the soul that remains, for the soul that's lost. So what do you mean, Shabbos Vayinafash, Kevan Sheshavas? Vay of the Nefesh. So Rabbi Nachman explains an amazing thing. It's part of a much longer piece in Likutei Moran. But along the way, he explains this Torah. Rabbi Nachman says, when you realize that the neshama is going to leave in 25 hours from now, meaning you have this neshama yaseira right now, gevaldik, amazing. But when I recognize the fact that it's going to leave, then I can actually enjoy it more. Rabbi Nachman actually says it a little bit differently. He says that when you acknowledge that the neshama yisera is going to leave, and there's a longing for it to stay, and you know you're going to miss it, it's that longing actually for the neshama yisera when it's gone, which actually creates the neshama yisera on Shabbos. You hear? That's a very deep idea. It's knowing that it's going to leave later. It's that feeling of I wish it could stay forever, but accepting that it can't. That actually creates that added boost right now. The word nefesh actually means ratzon, desire. So it's actually the longing for the neshama yisera that creates more nefesh. It creates more soulfulness. Very deep idea. So based on that, I thought you could suggest, why do we read Koheles on Zman Simchas Seinu? Here we are, we're trying to enjoy, we're trying to have Simchas Achayim. But chevra, part of the problem with Simchas Achayim is that what? Part of the reason we get stuck is because we want certain things to last forever, and they can't. But once we accept that, once we acknowledge that it's not going to last forever, once we say, Shlomo Melech says, you're going to die one day, once you accept that reality, and you stop fighting it, once you accept that life is going to have challenges, and you stop fighting it, then you can actually be besimcha. Then you can stop worrying about it. You hear? Once I accept that, have a love volume, I'll call level. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of frustration in life. Once I accept that, then I can actually go on with my life and enjoy my life. When I was in the hospital with cancer 5 years ago, I had a little notebook that someone gave me. Someone gave me this beautiful little journal. So I would write down, some days I would write things that, you know, just reflections, things that were going on. And in the back, I had a section of little Torahs to be mechavein throughout my treatment. And in there I put a quote from Rav Tzadok, which is very similar to the line that he's telling us here. Rav Tzadok says, it's in Divrei Sofrim, I think. Rav Tzadok's Divrei Sofrim. A person cannot experience life until they've had an encounter with death. I can tell you, as someone who was going through, you know, serious treatments, right? There's such a deep Torah. Until you encounter death, until you taste the possibility of life ending, you can't really enjoy life. Once you've encountered death, once you've accepted that death is real, right? Then life becomes much more alive. And that's part of the person who wants to experience Ma Yavid Inish V'yecheh. If you want to experience life, then Yamis is Atzma. You have to have an encounter with death. You could have that through killing yourself over Torah. You could have it, God forbid, by having a scary illness. Rav Weinberger always tells the story. Rav Weinberger will be here tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, for our learning pleasure. So Rav Weinberger tells the story that many years ago he took his kids to an amusement park on Chol HaMoed. And he said his daughter Suri was like really into the intense, super intense roller coasters. And she would go on these, you know, like the biggest roller coasters with the most flips, like the really scary ones. And some of the other kids weren't into it. His little daughter just kept going on the roller coaster. She got off the roller coaster, get back online, go right back on the line for the roller coaster. I guess her Weimer is like, you know, sitting on a bench on the side with a safer, I imagine. And Suri keeps getting off the roller coaster and going right back on the line, right back on the roller coaster. And Rav Weinberger says, he's like, why do you keep going on this roller coaster? What do you love about this roller coaster so much? So she says, Daddy, you don't understand. When you go on this roller coaster, it's like you almost died. So he's like, what? That's what you love about the roller coaster? You feel like you're going to die? But that's what Tzaddok's teaching. Right? Rav Weinberger always connects it to the piece from the Piyos Etzner Rebbe, whose yard site's this Shabbos, where the Piyos Etzner Rebbe says that the nature of a person, the mitzias of a person, is that an Adam loves, is ohev lehisragish, loves to feel. We like to feel, we like intense things. And the P.S.S. Rebbe writes in Savaziras, you can get that intense feeling from a life of intense Avodas Hashem. Or you can be kind of chilled out about your Avodas Hashem, and you get your highs watching, you know, YouTube videos. Or your heart starts to race when you're driving on the highway and you see a car crash on the side of the road. Why do people look at that? Why do people like scary movies? Why do people like roller coasters? They like the fear generates a feeling of chiyus, a feeling alive. So it could be that on Sukkot, which is Man Simcha Seinu, we want to feel alive. The Yom Tov of Yaakov Avinu, as we're going to learn, Yaakov Avinu lo meis, Yaakov Avinu never died, Chazal say. You want to feel alive? Then you have to have that encounter with Koheles. You have to have Shlomo Melech, like, you know, put it all out there that life is very temporary. And you know what? Once you're mekabel that, then you can actually get chiyus from it. Okay, you waited long enough, Yehuda. What do you want to say? Sorry to keep you waiting. Right?
Yeah.
Get more out of a base avel than a wedding. Yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing is there any possible connection between the fact that we're going into Parshas Bereishis with time and have only read Sefer of Havel Avelim?
Interesting.
I don't have any insight to that.
Interesting. They definitely talk about Havel and his name, and certainly its connection to Havel Avelim. I thought you were going to say it's very interesting that we have a murder so quickly in the Torah. I thought you were going to go down that route. Right. Yeah, no, there's a lot to think about there. Yeah, there's for sure a lot to think about there. Okay, let's get into his point now. So again, we have to use the midah of Ritzicha in a positive way. Killing ourselves, surrendering our desires in order to feel more alive. So let's look inside. V'hinei yadua, we're in the middle paragraph on page Kuf Dalet. Hinei yadua, Sheshem Shakai, the name of Hashem, Shin, Dalet, and Yud, Meir Misviras Yisod. Okay. He's definitely going to quote some very deep things that we're only going to partially understand, but we're going to push through it. He says, the name Shin, Dalet, and Yud, that name of Hashem, Shakai, illuminates or is illuminated from the Svira of Yisod. Again, in the Sviros and their corresponding body parts, the Sviros and their corresponding body parts, the Sphira of Chesed is the right arm. Gvura is the left arm. Tiferes is the body. Netzach and Hod are the legs. Yesod is the Bris Mila. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about Kedusha Sabris. Shmira Sabris. So he says the name of Hashem that's connected to Yesod, in other words, the Bris Milah, is the name Shin, Dalet, and Yud. So let's just pause there for a second. Anyone know what this name means? Shakai? How the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga explains this name or alludes to this name? Yeah?
Sufficiency.
Okay, sufficiency. Interesting. What do you mean sufficiency? Okay, interesting. Interesting way to translate it. Okay. Which part of the word is familiar to us? Die. Right? Dayenu, it would have been enough. The Gemara in Chagiga says that when Hashem was creating the world, and the world was in a state of expansion, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, so to speak, setting up the boundaries of reality by which He would both reveal and conceal Himself at the same times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Himself to be revealed until the point, Sha'amar le'olamo, Hashem said to the world, what? Die. Enough. Perfect. This is the spot where God is available to those who seek Him out, but is hidden from, you know, the Jew who's, or the human being who's not going to seek out Hashem. So the name Shakai means Sha'amar le'olamo, die. Hashem said to the world, enough. And that's, so to speak, where the expansion of the universe stopped. Whatever that means, whether it's a physical thing or a spiritual thing. Sha'amar le'olamo dai. But it's a name, the way that Yosef Zohar just translated it. It's a name that means sufficiency, right? Enough. Stop. Self-control. Hold back. There's a time and a place, but you also have to be able to say, not now. Dai. Dayenu. Right? It would have been enough. So that name of Shakai is connected to Bris Milah. Right? We're starting to understand why. Yeah.
Wouldn't that also connect to the sphere of Hod?
Yeah, it would. It would. It would. Hod is also submissive. Hod is definitely submissive. That's why the Chanukah is the Yom Tov that corresponds to Hod primarily. Right? And that's part of the reason that the Avanim, one of the main things that they did, we find the Gemara says that they created a lot of perversion with regard to banning Bris Milah. The Gemara in Ksubis, that a Jewish woman on her wedding night would have to first sleep with the Greek governor or general. Tibal Latafsar Tchila. Right? It was a lot of perversion in Inyanei Kedusha for that very reason, because the Midah of Hod, which is Chanukah, Lahodos Lahalel, also means a certain restraint, right? A holding back, which can then produce. Yeah.
I was just wondering, when you mentioned Yisod, I know Yisod is the Malchum Bris, but isn't Malchus also like the end of the Malchum Bris?
Yeah.
So
Malchus receives from Yisod. Right. If all the Sfiros are again, and you can see they're like channeling down, they trickle down to Yisod. And then Malchus is sort of the kli, as you can see on the board. Malchus is that kli on the bottom that receives from all of the higher realms, but most directly, after it's gathered in Yesod, it then is able to be transferred to Malchus. But that transfer and that hiskashrus, so to speak, of the vav and hey of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Yesod being sort of that vav, or the end of the vav, and the transmission to hey, right, is very much the, you know, the, it mimics the intimacy of a husband and a wife, the creation of a child, right? The birthing of something. Malchus is on the receiving end. Okay, so let's see. V'hu shora al notre bris. And this name, Shin Dalet Yod, right, is shora, it rests upon notre bris. Those who guard the covenant. Notre, no, right? Like nature carta. Noter means to guard. Yeah, notre bris, those who guard the bris. It's interesting, this name Shakai, which on the one hand means so much holding back and restraint, the gematria of Shakai is 314. Since today is Rosh Chodesh, I guess it's a good time to say, when the Torah introduces us to the first mitzvah, Rashi's question on Bereishis, why doesn't the Torah start with HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem? Right? Why not start with HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem? Oh no, I'm not saying it right. Sorry. Okay, stricken from the record. Let's go weiter. V'hu mishadeid v'horegas kol haklipos v'amazikim v'apagam e'adam. And this name is what? Is mishadeid v'horegas kol haklipos v'amazikim v'apagam e'adam. This shame, if you can have the shame shin dalet yod, whatever that means, to rest upon you. It protects you, it guards you, and it kills off all sorts of klipos and mazikim, all sorts of bad things. A person who's shomer bris is given a connection to this particular name of God because he has shown restraint, shakai. He has said dai, he's shown that he can hold himself back. And that name brings tremendous protection to a person. Okay? Uve gemara bracho, samach beizam ar alif, am rabbi tamchum bar chaniloi, kol hatzenua, anyone who is tzanua, ... nitzol v'chulu u'min ha-mazikim. He will be protected from mazikim, from harmful spiritual forces. Uvitikune zohar, isa, man dinotir os bris, a person who guards, a person who protects the sign of the bris, b'chol atar, in every place, at all times, kutshabrichu notir le beginei, b'chol atar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him, right, b'ginei, because of it, b'chol atar, at all places. U'mechase alei misanoi kegavna demosha. And he's protected from all types, he's mechase, he's covered over, he's guarded from all types of enemies, like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, that it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, u'vetzel shakai yislonan. With reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dwells in the shadow of Shakai. He's protected. Shakai is a name of protection. And the person who protects, who guards the bris, is given this awesome protection. V'chein meshadir es ha-ma'aracha alav letova. The brackets, he just translates that Zohar, as we just did. And then he says, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meshadir. Hashem arranges the constellations, so to speak. Hashem moves worlds for him. This is where life begins. This is the first mitzvah we ever did, before we were even mechuyev and mitzvahs, as babies. We were given a bris milah. It's a marking, it's a sign of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bottom paragraph on the page. V'yesh l'rameis calls that b'medrash, and all of this is hinted to in an amazing medrash. Amr Rav Yitzchak, Amr Yehoshua l'shemesh. Rav Yitzchak taught that Yehoshua, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of the Jewish people, turned to the sun, and he said to the sun, at the time that he was stopping the sun, be'eis sha'otzer oso melechas, when he was stopping the sun in its place. And he says to the son, Avda lav zavinas kasve da abba at. He says to the son, aren't you mishubed to my father? To the one who I come from? What does it mean? Look in parentheses. Klum lo mechura at la'avi li Yosef. Aren't you mishubed to Yosef? Who does Yeshua come from? Which tribe does Yeshua come from? He comes from, Yeshua comes from Ephraim. So Yeshua comes from Yosef. Yosef is the paradigm of Shmiras HaBris. In his defeat of Eshes Potiphar, Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef is Yesod. Yosef, according to the Sphiros, is the sixth of Arushpizin, corresponding to the sixth of the lower Sphiros, Yesod. So what does Yeshua say to the son? You have to do what I tell you to do, because I come from Yosef. Look how a person who's Shomer HaBris can control the world. Lo kach ro ischa abba v'chalom. After all, did my father, my ancestor, Yosef, not see you in a dream? And what was happening in the dream? Hine ha-shemesh v'yareach v'achar asar kochavim mishtachavim li. In Yosef's dream, what does he see? The sun, the moon, the stars bowing down to him. Yosef is the tzaddik. He controls nature. Because he can control his nature. He can control his body. It's the same thing we find, by the way, Chevra, by Kriyas Yamsuf. What do Chazal say on Hayam Ra'a Vayanas? He said it in Halil today. Hayam Ra'a, the sea saw something, Vayanas, and it ran away. What caused the sea to split? Atzmos Yosef, Arono Shel Yosef. Yosef's coffin, the Gemara says, the Medrash says. It was the coffin of Yosef that caused water to get out of his way. Mayim is associated with Torah. And Mayim, in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, is associated with Taiva. A person who controls Taiva can control Mayim. Yosef just marches through the water. Get out of my way. I'm a Shomer HaBris. I'm a Tzaddik. So look at this. Yoshua, who comes from Shevet Ephraim, who comes from Yosef, can turn to the sun and the moon, and just say, you do what I tell you to do. Don't you know who I come from? Yosef saw in his dream that he's going to control the heavens. And therefore Yeshua says to the stars, to the moon, to the sky, Af at do milafanai. Therefore I command you, says Yeshua, to what? To hold your place before me. And that's exactly what happened, Chevra. If you remember Sefer Yeshua in the 10th parak, Miyad vayidom hashemesh v'yareach amad. The sun and the moon stopped in their place at Yeshua's command. But the command was based on what? On Shomer HaBris. Ki kol tzava ha-shamayim kfufim linotre bris. Because the entire heavenly hosts are subservient, are kafuf, have to bend themselves, humble themselves. Before what? Before a person who guards his bris. Such is the power of Shmiras HaBris. I have a guess what you might say, but I'm probably wrong. Let's hear it. Right, right.
I think it shows that, like, I think that...
Very good.
Having Shmiras is not only having the lechachila, but also coming back from...
Very good, very good. That he marries a person whose life was dedicated to Arayos, and he was metakin in that way. Very good, very good. We say when we take out the Sefer Torah, we say a series of psukim from Divrei Hayamim. Right, Lacha Hashem Agdula VaGvura VaTiferes VaNitzach VaHod Ki Kol BaShamayim VaAretz. Those phrases correspond to the spheros. Lacha Hashem HaGdula, Gdula is Chesed. Gvura is Gvura. Tiferes is Tiferes. Netzach. Ki Kol corresponds to Yesod. That's why the Sfarim say Ki Kol is Gematria Yesod. But kikol bashamayim uvaaretz means that a person who is what? Kikol, a person who has midas yesod, shmiras habris, he controls shamayim vaaretz. Yosef HaTzadik can move the stars. Yosef HaTzadik can, his ancestors can control the heavens. Look at this. The Yeshua says, sun and the moon, you're subservient to me. I come from shomer habris. Rav Weinberger once told the story, I hope I remember it correctly. Weinberger told the story that the story was there was some big gathering of Gedolim, and there was some issue that was being fiercely debated, and different Rabbanim, very very chashuv Rabbanim, were weighing in on this issue, and this one said like this and this one said like that. Got it. Weinberger told this story on the fifth day of Chanukah, Tavshin Ayin Dalet. And he said he heard it from someone who was there. Listen to this, Chavah, Shmiras HaBris. So there's a big meeting of Gedolim. The two biggest people in the room, the most choshev, distinguished people in the room, were of Aaron Cutler and the Satmar Rebbe. And everyone was debating. There was a mamish, a big machlokas, and everyone was fighting over this inyan. And at one point, the Satmar Rebbe's shita on whatever it was getting attacked by like all the other Rashi Yeshiva in the room. So finally, the Satmar Rebbe gave a clap on the table, and he said, "Gnik, enough." He said, "I come from 26 generations of Shomer HaBris. What I say goes." And he said, "Everyone backed off." He said, "Everyone backed off at that point. You have Shomer HaBris. You come from that world. Whatever you say goes. You control the world." That's what he said. He said, "Gnik, I come from 26 generations of Shomer HaBris," and the Gdoli Rashi Yeshivas in the room. They all said, "Okay, if you're going to play that card, you win." That's exactly what Yeshua is doing here. Yeshua turns to the world and says, I know sun and moon and stars, I know you've been charged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a certain way that you operate, but Ginek, I come from Yosef Tzadik, Shmir Sabris, and that's it. I win. And that's exactly what happened. Let's finish the paragraph, then we'll stop. Kamuva b'medrash tadshay. It's a medrash tadshay. Right? It's from the pasuk tadshay ha'aretz desha. Medrash tadshay. It's a collection of medrashim. Shayud beiz mazalos heim keneged hayud beiz shvatim. The 12 constellations correspond to the 12 tribes. Uvetana deve elio, and we find also in medrash tana deve elio, kishayotze Yaakov mibeis aviv amr lo Hashem yisbarach. When Yaakov left his father's home, Hashem said to him, "Bini, saw einecha urei shnei masar mazalos ukochavim keneged yud beis shvatim shani no sein lecha." I'm giving them to you. Yaakov Avinu, we'll see, is also a tremendous role model of Shmira Sabris. V'im kein ulai efshar lomar ki yud alef kochavim heim sod hayud alef mazalos mishtachim v'kufim lemazlo shel Yosef. He's just explaining that. In Yosef's dream, when he sees the sun and the moon and the stars, right? It also, besides whoever it's alluding to in his family members, it also alludes to the sun and the moon and the constellations. So in other words, he's just furthering the point that the whole universe is meshubed to the person who has Shmira Sabris. V'ayin b'lekutim aran simen lamed vav, shal yidei kedusha sabris, mitztayrim tziurim shel bracha. That through kedusha sabris, there are images, pictures, drawings, some type of bracha is being crafted, is being created. So, chaver lemaisa, it's a very, very good thing. That's what we learned today. Okay, we'll continue the maimer tomorrow. And he goes on to talk about how Shimon and Levi started off very similar, and Levi was able to distinguish himself because of Shmiras Sabris, and Shimon the opposite. But again, it's just an introduction to this concept, which is so yesodistic. That again, the taiva, which is so much a part of our world today, living in such a sexually immoral society, it's so important that we make sure that we learn to fight and to continue to work on this and to continue to be people who live lives of Kedusha. And again, the greatest way that we do that is by killing ourselves over Torah, is by surrendering our will to Hashem, is by getting that geshmak out of an avodas Hashem that's alive. And if we do that, Emir Hashem, we'll be zocha to have the whole world be meshubet to us, because we'll be tzaddikim. V'am echulam tzaddikim. Tzvat Hashem. Say amen. Amen. Okay. Shkoyach.